So yeah, we are beginning this new sermon series on prayer this morning, looking specifically at the Lord's Prayer, the prayer Jesus taught his disciples in both Luke 11 and Matthew 6. And Matthew led us in prayer earlier, and look, the Lord's Prayer, it's maybe the most famous prayer we find in Scripture, and in it, Jesus has a huge amount to teach us about what prayer is. But more than that, Jesus gave his followers this prayer to encourage them to actually pray. Not just to describe prayer, but to get them praying in the assurance that their Father in heaven hears them and will answer them. And I believe Jesus does that because Jesus knows we all have a strange relationship with prayer. Prayer, it can feel like both the most natural thing in the world and the most unnatural thing in the world. So arguably every human being on this planet will pray at one point or other in their lives. Even the most hardened atheist will pray at a sickbed or in a time of crisis. And yet, prayer isn't that natural. Prayer also feels like a struggle for most of us. I've yet to meet a Christian who says they find prayer easy or natural. In reality, most of us feel our prayer lives are not strong at all. And even a saying someone said to me years ago, they said, if you want to humble any Christian, ask them about their prayer life. And kind of any boasting sort of evaporates. But that's why I think Luke 11 is such an encouraging place for us to go when we're thinking about prayer. And that's why I take great encouragement from the question, the request the disciples make of Jesus in verse 1 here. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. It seems that Jesus' first disciples, the apostles, know what it is like to feel weak and inadequate in prayer, and so they ask Jesus for help. Lord, teach us to pray, they say. And the assumption behind that question is, without Jesus teaching them to pray, they'll get prayer wrong, and prayer will continue to be a huge struggle for them. And actually, the rest of the Bible tells us that's not a wrong assumption to make. We find prayer difficult for a number of reasons. The headline reasons are, well, we're all sinners. See, left to our own devices, we don't love God. We don't love our neighbor as ourselves as we should. And actually, more than that, we don't want to love God. We don't want to love our neighbor. And so in the area of prayer, as in every area of our lives, we need help. We need to listen to Jesus rather than listen to our own hearts. And the Bible is also clear that we find prayer difficult because we don't see God face to face. That's a consequence of the fall in the Bible. So as a result, all sorts of questions and doubts sort of rush at us when we pray. Is God listening? Is God really there? Are my prayers reaching him? Am I praying long enough or hard enough that God will answer me? So like Jesus' first disciples, I think it's really easy to feel inadequate and discouraged in our prayer life. So what's the solution? Well, sometimes we think the solution is find sort of a prayer warrior you can learn from, whether it's someone alive or someone in church history. Just get next to someone who can pray really naturally, easily, and we will feel we can learn how to pray. Now, in his book on prayer, Enjoy Your Prayer Life, Mike Reeves tells actually an apocryphal story about Martin Luther, the great German reformer. And apparently Luther was asked one evening what he'd be doing the next day. And his reply was this. He said, work from early till late. In fact, I have so much to do, I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer. And Mike Reeves just says straight after that, tales like this turn our bones to jelly because we know we are not like that. Again, the great thing in that book, Mike Reeves goes on to tell a more realistic and verified story of Luther struggling to pray as well. So that's encouraging. But actually, great prayers, whether in history or people we meet, they can encourage us, but they can also discourage us. We hear about the hours they spend in prayer, the experiences of God they seem to have. And we just say, well, that isn't me. I could never be like that. But honestly, that's why in the next 3 weeks, we're not looking at great prayer warriors in history. We are learning to pray from Jesus. And Jesus is the most gracious and encouraging teacher of prayer we could ever wish for. See, looking to Jesus to teach us how to pray, it doesn't crush us and it doesn't discourage us because Jesus is on our side. Because Jesus prays for us that we would pray with him. Actually, the teaching Jesus gives is both help to pray and freedom for us to pray. And that's just in keeping with who Jesus is. He entered our world, became a man to save us. He lived a perfect life, but he shares that perfection, that righteousness with us. He prayed to his Father in heaven that we might share the status he has with his Father as beloved sons and daughters of God. See, Jesus was the greatest prayer who ever lived, and yet we look to him and we don't feel inadequate or crushed because of his grace, because of the help he gives us to pray. So looking at Luke 11, I think Jesus got some really liberating truths to tell us about prayer here. So let me just read the Lord's Prayer in this version in the Gospels. We're going to look at Matthew 6 next week, but this week we're looking at Luke 11, verse 2. Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Now, we're going to look at the wording of that prayer actually in the next couple of weeks. But for now, I just want to focus on the beginning of the prayer. Because Jesus' teaching on prayer begins with that word, Father. And that is at the heart of what Jesus teaches us about prayer. Prayer, ultimately, is a child asking their father for help. Prayer is a child asking their father for help. See, a right understanding of prayer has to begin with the fatherhood of God. Jesus is saying to his disciples, "You have a Father in heaven who loves to hear you pray." He's actually saying more than that. He's saying, "We have a Father in heaven who loves to hear us pray." Jesus is inviting the disciples to address God the same way as he always had. As the eternal Son of God, Jesus has always called God Father. And he says, actually, you now, my disciples, can pray as sons of God and enjoy that relationship with God as your Father. And how is that possible? Well, the New Testament tells us, by faith, every believer is united with Christ. The phrase the New Testament uses again and again is, we are in Christ. We are in him. So Jesus' relationship with God is now our relationship with God. So the intimacy Jesus has with his Father is now the intimacy we have with our Father. God the Father always accepts our prayers because we pray them in Christ, in him. Jesus wants to encourage the disciples straight away, call the God of the universe Father. He is my Father, and now, because of me, he is your Father too. And there's a very helpful book on prayer by a guy, Tim Chester, called You Can Pray. And in it, he says this. He says, all you need to know to pray well is that you are needy and your heavenly Father loves you. See, praying is asking our Father for help. And more than that, praying is actually acknowledging who our Father in heaven is. Actually, praying is how we get the right theology of God, if you like. Far more than reading books on theology, far more than listening to sermons, dare I say it. Praying is how we understand who God is. Again, Chester puts it like this. He says, when we pray, we affirm these truths. The presence of God, he's able to hear us wherever we are. The power of God, you ask him because he's able to help. The grace of God, he welcomes us in spite of our sin. The kindness of God, he rescues us as a father. That's what we're doing when we're praying. We're responding honestly to how God reveals himself to us in his word. Praying is vital to a relationship with God because it takes those truths we might otherwise go, yeah, that's true about God, and it forces us to live them out. If God is here, then I talk to him. If God is powerful, I cry out to him. If he's gracious, I don't hide my sin from him. If he's kind, I'm not going to run from him, I'm going to run to him. I want to say, that's another reason why prayer is hard, Because God's enemy and our enemy, the devil, hates it when we pray. Because when we're praying, what we're doing is we're worshiping God for who he really is. Again, how often do we sort of almost have a voice in our head when we start praying, maybe on our own or maybe with a group of other Christians, we're sort of saying, oh, that was a rubbish prayer. I just didn't say the right thing. I got confused. I said, thank you, Father, for dying on the cross. Oh, but you didn't. Oh, and I just used the wrong words. I just got flummoxed. And this voice going, I'm just not going to pray. I'm just, until I learn a bit more, I'm not praying. Going to keep quiet. I want to say that is actually the voice of Satan trying to stop you as a beloved child of God in Christ from praying to your Father. God the Father does not expect perfection from our prayers. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to ask him for help. If we want to learn who God is, if we want to worship God, we need to pray to him. Not listen to that voice in our heads. Listen to Jesus here. And again, with the Lord's Prayer, verses 2-4, we're not going to go into in detail this week, but actually there are hugely liberating truths for us in this prayer. First of all, it's stating the obvious, but it's a short prayer. I mean, even in it's a slightly longer version in Matthew 6, but I think at sort of time, this is about 15 seconds maybe you could pray the Lord's Prayer in. I think Jesus is telling us something important. He's saying length does not make your prayer acceptable to God. Jesus is the one who makes your prayer acceptable to God. So pray in short prayers. Now, he's not precluding long prayers. There are longer prayers in Scripture. There are times we will pray for a sustained period. But Jesus is saying, it's not the length of our prayers that God's looking for. It is us realizing we are children asking our Father for help. And linked with that, this is a simple prayer. It doesn't have long, impressive sentences or deep theological complexity in many ways. It's a brief series of straightforward statements and requests. And Jesus is telling us here, prayer doesn't have to be complicated. It's not a performance. It is talking to your Father. Again, linked with that, it's a plain prayer. It's an ordinary prayer, asking for ordinary things, for daily bread, for forgiveness of sins, for protection from evil, from the things that we need every day. And again, don't mishear me. Prayer can be intense and emotional sometimes. Jesus knew all about that. In Gethsemane, he cries out to his Father, sweating drops of blood. But sometimes we take that and we think, well, unless I feel in that frame of mind, I can't pray. It's an ordinary day. Why would I pray? But prayer is ordinary. It's just every day about everyday things because we are children who need our Father's help. And again, that one word that the whole prayer begins with just reminds us, this is a confident prayer. It's not, God, are you there? God, are you listening? It's actually, Father, hallowed be your name. God is our Father, and he loves to hear our prayers. This is the prayer of a child who knows their Father is listening. That's what Jesus is saying to us here. And if you'd like to emphasize that confidence we can have in prayer, Jesus goes on in Luke 11 to tell a couple of stories designed to encourage us to go to our Father to help us and to go to him with confidence, even with boldness, because he is our Father. So we're going to look at each of those sections in turn. So the first thing is the parable of this friend at midnight. And this is a great story, one of Jesus' best stories, I think. So Jesus invites his disciples to imagine it is late at night and there's a knock at the door. A friend has suddenly, unexpectedly arrived at your door. They're on a journey and they need somewhere to stay and they need something to eat. And in the culture of first century Israel, this is a huge issue. In that culture, there was a strong expectation that generous hospitality should be shown to any guest. And if you weren't able to do that, you would be publicly shamed in your village, in your community. But the problem is, it's the middle of the night. You don't have a fridge or a freezer. The shops are shut. You prepare most food daily. You don't have anything to offer your guest. And so the question Jesus confronts his disciples with is, what are you going to do? And then he tells us what this particular host decides to do. He runs to his friend's house. It's now midnight, Jesus says, and he starts banging at his front door. verse 5. Let me read that for us. "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him." He runs to his friend at midnight and wakes him up. Now, another name for this parable could be sort of how to lose friends and alienate people, because this is just not the way you're going to ingratiate yourself to people. The man inside the house is not happy at all about being woken up at this hour. Verse 7, suppose the one inside says, "Don't bother me. The door's already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything." Again, this is a real dilemma that this man finds himself in. And Jesus' disciples could relate to both men in the story. They relate to the desperation of the man standing outside. He needs bread to give to his guests. They can relate to the reluctance of the man inside as well. Again, in that culture, most houses are sort of one-room dwellings, and the family would sleep together on one mat. So for this man to get up and help his friend, if the kids aren't awake already, they will wake up. And any parent knows you do not want to wake your kids up at midnight. At all costs, you avoid that. This man is going, "I don't want to help you." But then verse 8, the end of the story, eventually he does. He gets up, he gives his friend the bread he needs because Jesus tells us of the man outside's shameless audacity in coming and banging on his door in the middle of the night. Again, it's a great story, but what is Jesus telling us about prayer? I think that the main truth he wants us to see is this: pray boldly because you need help. Pray boldly because you need your Father's help. In this story, that the man outside the door didn't have any other options to feed his guest. He had to knock on his neighbor's door at midnight. Verse 6, "I have nothing to set before my guest." This wasn't the time for politeness or reserve. Without his neighbor's help, this first friend's friend would go hungry. So the man at the door, he recognizes he needs help. He needs help now, and so he asks for it. And what Jesus is saying here is we can be bold in asking God to help us because without God helping us, like the man in the story, we have nothing to offer. Without God's help, we cannot keep going ourselves as followers of Jesus, and we have no way of helping the people God places in our lives, no way of loving them, serving them. See, if we are going to learn how to pray, Jesus says we need to recognize just how needy we actually are. Because one of the biggest problems facing us in prayer is that so often we think we can cope with life on our own. We think actually against verse 6 that we do have something to offer people. We do have something to offer God without first asking him for help. All too easily we rely on our experience or our education, on our money, on our good looks and charm. But good looks and charm is not going to cut it in this world. Any experience or wisdom we have is not enough to enable us to really love and help the people God places around us, even to keep going ourselves. Again, as Kate's mentioned, we are faced with a world of just such horror. We have to admit we need God's help in responding to it. This man at the door at midnight, he has no bread for himself. He has no bread for other people. So he just forgets dignity and politeness and he just asks for help. And that, Jesus says, is how we need to approach our Father in heaven. Pray boldly, Jesus says, because you need help more than you realize. Cry out to your Father. Stop relying on yourself. We need help and we need to ask for it. I used to live in the northeast of England, in Durham, and would go to Newcastle a bit. And in Newcastle, apparently there's a saying, I'm going to try the accent, but it's going to be tricky. And the saying is this, Rob, you can maybe help me in this. Quiet bairns getting out. Does that make sense? Quiet bairns getting out. That in BBC English, that means quiet babies get nothing. And what it kind of means is you've got to ask. You've got to make your needs known if people are going to meet that need. Quiet bairns getting out. It's a catchy phrase that will sweep the nation. But actually, that's kind of what Jesus is saying here. If you don't ask, you don't get. Go to your Father. One writer puts it like this: all of Jesus' teaching on prayer in the Gospels can be summarized with one word, ask. Ask, Jesus says. Pray boldly because you need help. And the only one who can help you is your Father in heaven. So don't kid yourself that you can cope on your own. Ask for help. And if that story of the friend at midnight is meant to sort of shake us out of our self-reliance, then the rest of this section, Jesus wants to lift us out of doubt and despair when it comes to prayer. Jesus wants to tell us we can pray boldly because your Father loves to bless you. Again, if Jesus had stopped at verse 8, stopped at this story, we'd be tempted to think, well, surely then God is like the man inside the house. He has to be nagged to help us. He doesn't want to help us. He's a bit reluctant to do so. But actually, Jesus answers that question in verses 9 to 13, and it's a resounding no to that thought. Jesus tells us, if a reluctant human being, against everything he wants to do, will even help you if you ask him, hard enough, how much more will your loving Father in heaven help you as you cry out to him? We don't need to be afraid to come to God. We don't need to think, I can only come at daytime or with particular requests. We can go to him at any time of the day or night with any request, because Jesus tells us God is our Father and he loves us. Verse 9, it's one of the most emphatic things Jesus could ever say. Verse 9, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Those who seek find, and to those who knock, the door will be opened. Now, Jesus isn't trying to say everything about prayer here. He's not trying to nuance this or balance the statement. Why not? Because he wants us to pray. Jesus knows what we're like. We always find reasons not to pray. Either we don't believe we need God's help, we can cope on our own, or we believe, well, God's reluctant, he's unwilling to help us. Jesus' response in those verses is, just pray. Just ask, seek, knock. Go to your Father, ask him for help, and you will discover he does answer prayer. He gives us what we need to live for him. And Jesus spells that out in verses 11 to 13. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Jesus says even the worst father is not going to treat his child with callousness in that way. And how much more will your loving heavenly Father give good gifts to his children? And the gift Jesus highlights is the Holy Spirit. Jesus is telling us here, the Holy Spirit is God's greatest gift to us as we wait for Jesus to return, because the Holy Spirit is God with us, God himself living in us, changing us, guiding us, pouring God's love into our hearts, and helping us when we don't know what to pray for. Again, some ways we think as Christians, the Holy Spirit is kind of someone who's there for strong believers. So if you've really made it spiritually, you talk about the Spirit a lot, or you experience the Spirit a lot. The Spirit's when you've made it. But Jesus says, no, the Spirit is given to us. He is in us to help us when we are weak, and we are all weak. This is how the Apostle Paul puts it in Romans 8. He says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. God gives us his Spirit because he knows we need help. And what better help can we have than God himself living in us, helping us to pray, helping us to keep going in this world? See, that is Jesus' great assurance here. Ask your Father in heaven and he will give you whatever you need to know him and to keep living for him. Jesus is sort of unabashed about that. He almost challenges us, take me up on that. That is a challenge, verses 9 to 10. Will you accept that challenge? Will you ask? Will you seek? Will you knock? So as we prepare to leave Luke 11, what does Jesus teach us about prayer here? Again, we're going to look at the detail of the Lord's Prayer next week. But again, where Jesus starts is where we need to start. Prayer is a child asking their father for help. As all, prayer can be short, it can be long, it can be simple, it can be complex, it can be ordinary, it can be intense, but it is confident. Because Jesus says, my father is your father. My father loves to hear me pray, and my father loves to hear you pray, for you are in me. So we can pray boldly because we always need our father's help. And because our father is willing and able to help us. That's what Jesus wants us to see here. Ultimately, it's not a huge theology of prayer. It's just saying, pray, go to your father. And if you like, that is the greatest battle we face often in our lives. I was reading something by the great evangelist and writer John Stott recently, and he said this. He says, the real battle to pray takes place at the threshold of prayer. And what he meant by that is actually, often the battle isn't when we start praying. The battle is actually to start. Sometimes when we actually pray, we find it helpful. We find, yes, I kind of feel God is listening to me, but the challenge is to start praying. And the devil, Stott says, does everything he can to stop us praying, but whether by distracting us, by keeping us busy, by discouraging us. So actually, the challenge is start praying. I was thinking about this. Lily and I occasionally have these good resolutions where we say we will pray together every night in bed. And we don't always, but we say we will. But yeah, the nights when I think, yeah, I should suggest we pray, it is astonishing. 101 reasons rush into my head as to why we shouldn't. It's amazing. Like, it's getting late. We're too tired. We've just had an argument. That will be hypocritical to pray. I want to read instead, or just it sounds overly spiritual. Let's pray. But I want us to see, that's actually the voice of the enemy. Telling us, don't bother. Just, you know, you're a Christian, you don't need to pray. Just save it for tomorrow. Jesus says, you're a child in need. Your father wants to help you. Go to him. Ask him to help you. And see what happens. It is a challenge, but it is also an encouragement. Prayer is a child asking their father for help. Let me pray for us. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you that that is who you are. We want to thank you that we get to call you the creator of the universe, Father, because of your son Jesus, because of his death and resurrection, because we are now united with him. And Lord, even though we struggle to understand what that means, we want to take the words of your son and use them ourselves. Lord, when we are honest, we do need you. When we are honest, we feel our need, both those huge situations around us in the world, but also even just that ability to keep going in maybe the very ordinary things. Father, please, would you draw us by your Spirit to pray to you, to ask you for help. Keep us from the excuses of sort of self-reliance or that you're not willing to hear us or that we're just too tired. Father, please, teach us to pray. Thank you that your son Jesus has done that. Thank you that your Spirit is in us, enabling us to pray. Father, would we be children who recognize our need and go to you for help as a church and as individuals? It is in Jesus' name, our gracious teacher, we ask it. Amen.